Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the race of life, success with God depends on time spent with Him in secret, time given to the discipline of prayer. For many, prayer is mysterious, especially private prayer. To find out what secret praying is all about, please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Matthew chapter 6. In his series on sharing secrets with God, Erwin Lutzer comes now with a message on secret praying.
Praying takes work. Only desperate people pray. And that's why God keeps bringing enough trials into our life to make us desperate enough so that we will seek His face. There's another reason why prayer is so difficult, and that is we are praying to an invisible being. It's a little different if we're conversing together because we understand that, but God can't be seen, and so sometimes our minds wander, and hopefully before this message is over, I'll give you some suggestions on how to take care of that. But our minds tend to wander, and we begin to wonder whether this invisible being is actually watching us and listening to us. Now, prayer is emphasized in the Bible, and the rabbis emphasized prayer. One of them said, "He who prays within his house surrounds it with a wall that is stronger than iron." The problem was that during Christ's time, the whole idea of prayer had really disintegrated into something that was not only displeasing to God, but perfectly nauseating to Him. And the reason for this was because prayers were formalized. You memorized them. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That was recited in the morning, that was recited again in the evening. In fact, they knew when to recite it in the morning because the people were told that when it is light enough for you to be able to distinguish the colors, that's the time that you say that prayer. That became old, but they kept doing it. And then in addition to that, there were all kinds of prayers, up to 18 of them that were recited, and it was almost like an incantation or a spell. People just did it by rote. They just did it because that's what you do. Another reason is because there were prayers for all occasions. There were prayers when it lightning. There were prayers when it thundered. There were prayers that were used at meals. There were prayers that were used when you were in difficulty, prayers when you were joyful. And so there was a circumstance and people would say to one another, "Well, what prayer shall we use for this?" Can you imagine thinking of prayer in those terms? In addition to that, there were set times for prayer, much like the Muslims have today, and a tendency to long prayers, because they thought that if we bang on God's door long enough, surely He will hear, and maybe He can even be pestered into hearing. And then in addition to that, there were people who were praying to be seen by others. You know, Jesus will refer to this in the 6th chapter of Matthew, which is the passage we shall turn to in a moment. But there were those, you know, who pretended that they were so spiritual, they couldn't even make it to the synagogue before they were praying. And so they just prayed on the steps of the synagogue. And everybody walked by and thought, my goodness, he couldn't even make it another 20 feet. He was so godly, he had to pray right there. And then there were others who prayed in the marketplaces. You know, the Jews, when they pray, they lift their hands to heaven, their palms toward God, their head is bowed down, and they would pray like this, standing in the corners of the streets and in the marketplaces, and for a show, Jesus said, they would make long prayers. Can you imagine anything more nauseating than that to God, and as well as to the people, really? Now, it's in that context that Jesus Christ offers some very important instruction regarding prayer. Jesus is saying, you took the heart out of it. You missed the point. You don't understand what prayer is all about. And so I invite you to turn to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, where Jesus discusses this in more detail. You know, we're speaking about secrets in the Christian life. And last time I spoke about secret giving, this time I speak about secret praying, and I might say that this message could totally change your life forever if you and I listened to it carefully and if we obeyed the suggestions that I'm going to be giving. Some of you who have struggled with addiction, some of you who have problems in your life that God doesn't seem to solve, down deep ingrained habits that you can't get rid of, this would do it if we really took this seriously. This message, along with the next one that is going to be on secret fasting, if we put the two of them together. You'll notice what Jesus says, verse 5 of Matthew 6, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full." They prayed to be noticed, people noticed them, end of the deal. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what you have done in secret, will reward you." First of all, Jesus said, pray secretly. Pray secretly. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray publicly. Jesus prayed publicly. The disciples prayed publicly. But what Jesus is saying, most assuredly, is please don't pray publicly unless you have first of all prayed privately. Because our public prayer should be the expression of the secret prayers that we offer to God, and make sure, above all things, to pray secretly. Why secretly? Number one, because it helps keep our motives pure. Because when we're praying in secret, in the closet, with the door closed, we're not praying that others would hear us. We're not praying hoping that the members of our family will find us. We are there simply because we want to be, and it's between us and God. And so we do that in order that we might keep our motives pure. But we also do it to develop intimacy, that relationship. You know, there are times when three is a crowd. There are times like that. And I want you to know that there are times in our relationship with God when it's just us and God, as we go into the depths of our soul and tell God things that we could never tell anybody else. Get to the closets of the heart where all of the things are hidden, and we drag it out in God's presence. We honestly tell him exactly how we feel, and we begin to develop those secrets with him, those good secrets of times of fellowship that we don't even have to explain to anyone else, and it happens there in private. You've heard me quoted before, haven't you? "My God and I, we walk the fields together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I, we walk the meadows through." There are some things that you can share only with God. And there in the closet, you develop that kind of intimacy. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet, shut the door. Pray secretly. He said, pray expectantly. Pray expectantly. You'll notice that the text goes on to say this. "And when you pray, go into your room and close it," Jesus said. Verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him." You know, the pagans have vain repetition. And they keep talking and babbling. You remember in the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, that's what they did. The pagans cried to Baal for a half day. They kept saying, "Hear us, O Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us, O Baal, hear us, O Baal." Jesus said, don't be like that. They can be like that because they have to say that because Baal's not listening. But when you talk to God, he's listening. If I may use the marriage illustration and take it a step further. You know, some of us who are married, we know that when our wives talk to us, they have to tell us the same thing again, and maybe again, and maybe again, and maybe again. Some of you guys are laughing, and you know right well that you have a good reason to laugh. And I heard an amen even from the choir coming from the family. And who breathes there the man with soul so dead who hasn't listened to his wife say something like this? How many times do I have to tell you? Or you weren't listening last time. Well, that's the way we are, but that's not the way God is. God's not like that. When his bride, his people, talk to him, he's listening, and therefore we don't have to use vain repetition. Now, that does not mean that we can't mention the same request more than once. Jesus did that too. The disciples did that. Paul did that. He said, I besought the Lord three times that he might take this thorn away from me. That's not the point. But what Jesus is saying is realize that when you pray, God is immediately listening. You don't have to keep repeating the same thing. Why? Because number one, he has very good ears. Very good ears. He is listening. And he is listening very carefully. In him we live and we move and we have our being. And God is there in the closet. Now also, it's because God has a good memory. Why do you have to mention it to him again? He remembers what you said yesterday. He's not like your husband, ladies. Just cheer up, cheer up. He's not that way. God knows, and he understands. And then Jesus adds these very, very beautiful words that ought to bless and warm our hearts. He says in verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. You come before the Lord, and God already knows exactly what's on your heart. He understands the situation fully. He does not have to do any research to be caught up to date as to what is happening. You do not have to go to him again and again and again on the same issue as if he's not listening and can't remember what it is that you mentioned to him yesterday. He's not like that. He is God, all knowledge, all memory, all and all, and he's with us right there. And that's why you can come before God and sometimes not use words. You don't always have to say things in God's presence. Sometimes you simply come and you simply rest in the Lord and you meditate on his promises, and that's all that you do, and that's all that you need, because he knows in advance what your need is.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. The other day, somebody asked me the question, why is it that there are so many unanswered prayers? We all have them, don't we? Well, have you ever realized that the real first purpose of prayer is probably not to get our requests answered? The very first purpose is that our hearts might be brought into God's presence. At the end of the day, we need God more than we do the answer to our prayers. I don't want to be critical of people's prayers, but sometimes I've heard people pray and they're telling God all of these things. They're rehearsing various situations before they get to their requests and before they yield these matters to the Lord. Well, my friend, you and I don't have to do that for the simple reason that we don't have to tell God anything. All that we need to do is to share our burdens, our concerns, and in that sense, yes, we do tell him, but there's no use trying to rehearse all the details to make sure that he gets it all right. I think that when we pray, we should do so reverently and get to the point of yieldedness, of faith, and delighting in God's presence.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, for that great advice about prayer. Join Erwin Lutzer next time to hear how secret prayer can strengthen your Christian life. There's something we'd like to share with you, and it's no secret. This four-part series on sharing secrets with God can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.